All right. Good afternoon, everyone. You guys having a good event?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do, man. We're going to go for 90 minutes. I'm starting 3 minutes late, so I will take the full 90 minutes. So I will go all the way until 3:33. So you guys can hold me accountable. So the thing that I'm going to teach you is I'm going to teach you how to build, keep, and create wealth through your own debts and expenses that you already have. Before I end today, I'm going to show you how you're going to get all the money back on every car you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what? So, a car, how am I going to get the money back for a car, right? Well, here's what you guys do. I don't even know you guys, but I know how you buy cars. You buy cars one of three ways. You either pay cash for the car, you bank finance the car, or you lease the car, right? Because I don't think you guys stole the car, because all of you look pretty honest in here, yeah? Well, a couple of you look a little shady, but most of you look pretty honest. So the thing you had to do is you had to take your money and you had to give it to the car dealer, and the car dealer gives you the car, yes? So he's got the money, you get the car, transaction is over, everybody goes home happy. But how about if there's a way that you can add one step into your financial life and not only get the car, but also get the money back too? Would that be pretty cool? So I'm going to show you how to do that. And if you can do it with a car, guess what else you can do it with? Anything. Any product or service, it's infinite. You can do it with a boat, a bicycle. You can do it with a trip, a vacation. You can do it with your taxes. You can do it with charitable giving. You can buy anything that you want and recapture and recycle and get all the money back. Now, the concept that I'm going to go over with you is outside of the box thinking. It's not what you've been taught about money. It's not what your parents taught you. It's not what your grandparents taught you. It's not what your friends, your colleagues, and your coworkers are teaching you. So I want you to keep an open mind as I go through this. There's nothing at the end I'm going to ask you to buy at all. There's nothing to sign up for. As a matter of fact, all of you have a handout, right? All of you have this handout right here. And if you don't, raise your hand and Hannah will bring you one. If you don't. But on the very back page, okay, on the very back page of this handout, I don't want you to write on that handout for the next 90 minutes unless you're going to put on your name, your address, and your phone number and turn them in. But don't do that now because you may not want to turn it in, okay? So don't do it. But in case you do, you may want to turn it in, okay? So if you're going to take notes, then go ahead and write it somewhere else in your notebook or somewhere else on the handout. So who am I? I'm actually Brent Kessler. The name of our company is called The Money Multiplier. And we're located in Port Orange, Florida, which bumps right up next to Daytona Beach. It's about an hour east of Orlando. And there on the front page of the handout and on the screen, you've got my contact number. You've got our website, themoneymultiplier.com. Also, if you go to the website and you follow podcasts, I suggest you follow the Money Multiplier podcast. And my daughter that's standing right over there, okay, so Hannah does podcasts every week. She's got like 78 episodes out there that go over all kind of different examples. So I'm actually a chiropractor. I no longer practice chiropractic anymore. I own 5 clinics in the Kansas City area. I sold the last one in 2017. I have not actually practiced since 2008. I had associate docs that were in my clinic. So I first heard about this concept that I'm going to share with you today. I was at a chiropractic conference back in 2006. So I was in a room kind of like what you guys are, and I heard somebody talk about this banking concept. And I was like, man, that is really, really cool, but it just seems too good to be true. Have you guys ever seen something like that where you go and you watch something and it looks good, but it seems too good to be true? Well, that was me in 2006. So I did nothing with the information. I left, okay? So anyway, the thing I did is I left the conference, went back to my normal life. And about 2 years later, I go to another chiropractic conference. And about 10 or 12 of my colleagues were there that were at the previous one. The only difference between them and me is they started and they acted upon the information that they heard. So they were going on and on. They're like, Brent, isn't this banking concept the most powerful thing ever to build, keep, and create wealth, pay off debt, recapture, recycle your money, all without working harder, without changing your cash flow, without taking any additional risk or losing control, all by adding one step in your financial life. So I thought to myself, there had to be something to this, right? There's no way 10 or 12 of my colleagues are lying to me. Maybe one or two, but not 10 or 12. So I came home. I told my wife. It was February of 2008. I said, honey, we have to start implementing this concept in our life. And it was at that time, February of 2008, I was $984,711 in debt. That's what I owed to the third-party creditors. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how does a guy from Kansas get to be almost $1 million in debt? I know if you live in California, that buys you a really small house, but in Kansas, it buys you a boatload of stuff, right? Well, I had my student loans from chiropractic school. I had the house that I lived in. I had a chiropractic clinic. I also had a condo on the Lake of the Ozarks between St. Louis and Kansas City. And if you have a condo on the lake, guess what you have to have? A boat and a wave runner, right? You can't have a condo on the lake without a boat and a wave runner. I'm also an airplane pilot. So as an airplane pilot, I had to have my own airplane. It did not take me a lot to become almost $1 million in debt. I was able to pay that debt off in 39 months, and I'm going to go through that with you today, how that worked. All right. Now, the concept that I'm going to teach you, I did not invent this, okay? As a matter of fact, this concept has been around for over 200 years. There's a guy that wrote a book, and it's called Becoming Your Own Banker. And the guy that wrote it, his name is R. Nelson Nash. R. Nelson Nash passed away in March of 2019 at age 87 years old. This guy was my mentor. I followed him around. He taught me what I know. This book will totally change your financial life. This is a book that you want to add to your wealth building library, okay? So you want to get this book. You're not going to probably get it from us because I have three copies is all I have, but you can go order them online. You can go to our website and get it or whatnot, okay? But if you're like me if you have a little ADD going on, can't pay attention very well, there's also 2 hours of audio you can get with it too. All right, so there's another book that I wrote with a colleague of mine. His name is Chris Noggle. Now, a lot of you guys may be following Chris Noggle. He lives in Buffalo, New York. But if you're not, I would definitely follow Chris Noggle. ChrisNoggle.com, N-A-U-G-L-E. Chris and I wrote this book called Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery. Now, this book I'm going to give you for free. All you got to do is send me an email, Brent@themoneymultiplier.com, and I will send you the ebook version of this book, Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery. Now, Chris Noggle, very active in real estate. He had a TV show on HGTV called Risky Builders. Make sure you go follow Chris Noggle. Now, and since I'm on, as far as the people that I want you to follow in the homework I'm going to give you, I also want you to follow a guy named Burr, Devin Burr. B-U-R-R is how you spell his last name, but he's all over social media on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all that social media stuff that I don't know how to operate, but it's under Mr. Burr, MR_Burr, B-R-R-R-R, okay? So Devin actually shows you how he uses this concept I'm about to teach you to buy all of his real estate. He's a real estate investor in Phoenix, Arizona. So go follow Devin Burr, okay? Also, you may want to go follow the Banking Bros, B-R-O-S. It's Jonah and Jeremiah. They live in South Carolina. They're not called the Banking Bros because they're two black guys. They're called the Banking Bros because they're brothers. Okay, they're brothers and they're brothers. Okay, so go follow them. Watch all of their content and everything that they're doing. They're also on our team as well. And anyway, so who in here has heard of Pace Morby? Some of you? Okay, I speak on Pace Morby's platform. Pace is my client. He does what I'm about to show you. So go watch me on Pace. I'm on there about once a month for his Sub2 community and also his Gator community as well. So go follow that. And then the other thing I want to tell you is after I'm done speaking at 4 o'clock, you guys really need to go and hear Isabel in her room when she talks. Isabel is the RAL, which is Residential Assisted Living. A ton of her community are my clients, and those guys are killing it with what they're doing. I'm just telling you, I mean, that's something you want to see. And like, Isabel does not come here very often. As a matter of fact, I've been coming here for 6-7 years, and I don't think I've ever seen Isabel here before, but she is here, and she's speaking at 4 o'clock. That was part of the gig of me speaking. I didn't want to compete against Isabel at the same time slot, okay? So I definitely suggest that you go listen to her and see what she's all about. Okay, my sound doesn't work, so that's okay. Huh? No, it's okay. I'm past that. That's all right. Okay. Now, there is something I want you to go and watch. It's called the Backward Bicycle video on YouTube. So go to YouTube, watch the Backward Bicycle, and it's not going to come up here, but again, it's about an 8-minute video, and I want you to watch that video because after you watch it, you'll know why I asked you to watch it. All right. So, there's a guy named Will Rogers, and here's what Will Rogers says. He says, the problem in America isn't so much what people don't know, it's what people think they know that just ain't so. So a lot of the stuff that you've been taught about money may not actually be the truth. I want you to keep an open mind as I go through this, because I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to challenge a lot of the things that you've been taught about money. I'm not asking you to agree with me, I'm just going to challenge the way that you've been taught. We're going to talk about how your money flows. We're going to talk about the method to get all your money back. Before I end today, you are going to see how to get every dollar back, all the money back for all the cars you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life. So not only do you have the car, but you get the money back as well. And if you can do it with a car, you can do it with any product or service in your life. It's infinite. Remember the bottom of this book? Unlock the infinite banking concept. It's infinite. Anything that you're spending money on, you can now recycle and recapture that money. We're going to talk about the mysteries of money, the machine. Pretty soon, I'm going to show you what that machine is that we're going to use to build, keep, and create wealth, and it's going to surprise a lot of you when I show it to you. We'll talk about the mission and the marathon. This is not a sprint. It's not a get-rich-quick deal. This is about you adding one step in your financial life. Adding one step. I don't want you to change what you're doing. Don't change what you're doing that's working. Just add one step. And when you change that, that is going to drastically improve your financial life. The millionaire in the movement, we'll talk about that. Okay, I have 3 calculators on the screen. If you guys are way in the back, there's lots of seats up front if you want to come up here and can see better. But if not, that's okay. All right. So I'm going to make believe that you have a checking or savings account. I'm assuming most of you have a checking or savings account. And I'm going to say that you have $25,000 in your bank account, okay? And in that bank account, that bank is paying you 4% interest on your money. I know they're not paying you 4% interest on your money, but I'm going to make believe you found a really, really good bank that's paying you 4%. And I'm going to be your banker at your local bank, wherever you're at. The Bank of Cincinnati, the Bank of Toledo, the Bank of Cleveland, the Bank of Dallas, the Bank of California. Wherever you live, you have a bank account, and I'm going to be your local banker. And you have $25,000 in the bank earning 4%, and you come into the bank, and you say, Brent, I want to take the $25,000 out of my bank that's earning 4%, and I want to go pay cash for a car. And I say, no, 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 you do not want to take the $25,000 out and go pay cash for the car. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep your $25,000 in the account, and again, it's going to continue to pay you 4%, and I'm going to loan you $25,000, and you're going to pay me 6% interest, or our bank 6% interest, to borrow for the car. Now, if we go to a bank and borrow $25,000 to buy a car, normally how long do we finance that car for? 5 years, 4 years, 6 years, it doesn't matter. It could be 5 years or 60 months. It could be 4 years, 48 months, 6 years, or 72 months. In this example, we'll use 5 years or 60 months. So here's what I'm telling you to do. I want you to leave your money in the bank earning 4, and the thing I'm going to make you a loan for 25, charge you 6%, and over the same equal time period, in this case 5 years or 60 months, our bank will pay you more money on the 4% that you're earning than you will pay us on the 6% that you're borrowing. Now, is that a true statement? In other words, is it possible for you to make more money earning 4 and paying 6 over the same equal time period? And I see you guys shaking your head no, and that's exactly what I said when I was sitting in your chair. Because if you earn 4 and pay 6, you're losing 2. Well, the banker told you the truth, so let's walk through that. So if you borrow $25,000 out at 6% for 5 years, your monthly payment is $483.32 a month. If you take $483.32 times 60, that means you're paying about $29,000 for the car. You're paying $25,000 in principal and $4,000 in interest. Are you following me so far? That same money that I told you to leave in the bank earning 4% over the same time period, 5 years or 60 months, you actually have a total of $30,525. Now, here's my question. Is this number 3525 a larger number than 28999? Or do you guys in Ohio do math differently than I do in Florida? It's a bigger number. How can that be? How can you have more money earning 4 at the same time you're paying 6? Here's what's happening. The car balance is going down every month. You're paying it down. It's on a decreasing balance. But the money in the bank is going up. So one goes down and the other one goes up. But our minds are not programmed to think that way. We think if we earn 4 and pay 6, we're losing 2. We have to start learning how money works. Now, the same thing happens is if I would change this number to 10% and earn 10 and change this number to 20. That's right. You would still make more money earning 10% at the same time you pay 20%. But just for my exercise up here today, all I wanted to do is prove to you that you can make money all day long earning 4 and paying 6. Are we okay with that? Why is that important? There is a method to my madness, okay? And if there's anyone taking pictures of slides, totally fine, but I can email you this whole entire presentation so you can save the film on your camera. All right. So, yeah, film on the camera. Is there any 18-year-olds in here? Hey, Hannah, there's my daughter. Film, camera. We used to have these cameras. All right. So, now, why is that important? Well, let's talk about the machine that we're going to use to build, keep, and create wealth. Are you ready for it? Because it's going to surprise a lot of you when I tell you what this is that we're going to use to build, keep, and create wealth. Well, that machine is a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. Yep, I've already got a couple people exiting out the back door because I use the word whole life insurance. I lose a couple every time when I say that. All right. I wish you could be standing where I'm at now, and I wish you could see all of your faces, because you're like, what? A whole life insurance policy to build, keep, and create wealth. Why on earth would I ever want to use a whole life policy? Well, why do you think you might want to use a whole life policy to build, keep, and create wealth? Any ideas? I heard taxes. You can borrow against it. Protection. All of those are great answers. The number one reason we're doing this is because this is what the rich do. This is what the wealthy do. The number one purchasers of whole life insurance in the world are conventional banks. Conventional banks own more in whole life insurance than all of their land and their buildings combined. As a matter of fact, since 2014, conventional banks have quadrupled the amount of whole life insurance they've purchased. Now, why do you think banks are buying so much in whole life insurance? Is it because they're stupid or they know something the rest of us don't know? They know something. So all we're going to do is mimic and imitate what the wealthy are doing. Look, so this concept I'm sharing with you today is not brand new. It's not on trial. It's not being tested. Maybe it's the first time you heard about it, but it's been around for over 200 years. Our tax code has only been here since 1913. This is how the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Morgans, the Stanleys, the Barclays, this is how they built, kept, and created wealth in their family. This is how Walt Disney started Disneyland. It's how Ray Kroc funded McDonald's. It's how Pampered Chef got started before Warren Buffett bought Pampered Chef. So all we're going to do is mimic and imitate what the wealthy have been doing. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm just going to do what the rich have been doing. Okay? Now, I told you banks are the number one purchasers of whole life insurance in the world. How do you know that I'm telling you the truth? All you got to do is go look up. All you got to do is go and check out and Google something called BOLI, B-O-L-I. It stands for Bank-Owned Life Insurance, and you will see the hundreds of pages that come up on how much whole life insurance conventional banks actually own. Now, keep in mind, this is not any life insurance policy. No. This is not any policy. This is not the type of life insurance policy that you can go buy from your brother-in-law that sells life insurance. We all have a brother-in-law that sells life insurance, don't we? Yes, this is not that type of policy. This is a specifically designed, specially engineered whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. A whole life policy that pays dividends that has high immediate cash value. One more time, high immediate cash value. And when I say high immediate cash value, meaning cash value within the first 30 days, meaning you put money into the policy and within the first 30 days, you have cash. It's not a UL, it's not an index universal life, it's not a term, it's not a variable. It is a specifically designed, specially engineered whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. Okay, why is that 4 and 6? Okay, why is the 4 and the 6% important? The 4% is important because inside of your policy is growing by greater than 4% with dividends. It's growing by greater than 4% with dividends. Now, is that growth on the policy, do you think it's taxable growth or tax-free growth? Tax-free. Tax-free. And what is our largest eroder of wealth? Taxes, okay? So the policy is growing by greater than 4% with dividends. Now, even though the dividends are never guaranteed, the insurance companies that we work with have been paying dividends for over 123 consecutive years without fail. So do you think there's a pretty good chance they'll pay dividends this year, next year, 10 years from now, and 20 years from now? Absolutely. And even if they didn't, you still have a guaranteed growth rate inside of the policy, even if it doesn't pay dividends. Why is the 6% important? Because the 6% is the highest interest rate the insurance company will charge you to take a policy loan. So can you make money all day long earning 4 and paying 6? Yes. Absolutely. Okay, let's move on. Now, I don't remember if I said this or not. If you guys have questions, I will answer them at the end, okay? I want to answer your questions, but I won't take them during the presentation because chances are I'm going to answer most of them before I'm done because I do this 55 to 70 times a year for the last 12 years, and I know what questions you guys are going to have, right? So, but I want to take them at the end. So when you have a question, it's important. So guess what you got to do when you have the question? You got to write it down, because if you don't write it down and you try to keep it in your head, you will forget it. A short pencil is better than a long memory. All right? Good? Okay. So can we make money all day long earning 4 and paying 6? Yes. What is the definition of money? So if I ask you to tell me the definition of money, you guys would tell me a lot of different things. But all money is a means of exchange, is it not? That's all we do with money. We exchange money for food, food for money, car for money for car, house for money for house. Everything is exchanged with money. So our definition for the next hour or so is money is a means of exchange, okay? Who believes in compound interest? Yeah, look at all the hands go up. You guys believe in compound interest? You've been taught compounding is a great thing. Well, let's talk about compound interest for a minute. The only way compound interest works is your product or your money has to sit still, does it not? So if I want this $20 bill to compound, I have to take it down to the bank, and I got to put it into the bank and leave it sit. It sits still, right? Because if I go get it out, it's no longer compounding. So compounding stops the motion, does it not? But motion is a natural law of God. Everything is in motion. I'm up here. I'm walking back and forth. My hands are moving. My lips are moving. Earlier, I ate breakfast, so all the food is going to be in motion through my body, right? How many of you would like to eat fish out of a stagnant pond? Nobody. How many of you went to the grocery store this past week, and the thing you did is you went to the fresh produce aisle at the grocery store, and you bought fresh produce that you do not intend on eating? Nobody, right? Because if you don't eat fresh produce, what happens? It rots and spoils, so it has to be in motion. Well, compounding stops the motion. But we've all been taught compounding is a great thing. I want you to name me one business in the world. You pick any business you want. Name me one business in the world that actually uses compound interest. You guys say banks. Banks use compound interest, right? Well, let's talk about that. Do banks really use compound interest? No, they pay you compound interest and they charge you compound interest, but they don't use it themselves. Here's what I mean. If I took this $20 bill, I highlighted it in yellow, and I put my initials on it, and I took it down to the local bank, does the bank teller take my $20 bill and do they put it in a box there and it says Brent Kessler, and that's where they put my $20 bill? No. No, they don't. They're moving it. If I want to go out and get this same $20 bill back in a month, are they going to give me the same one? What about in a week? What about in 10 minutes? No. Why aren't they going to give me the same $20 bill back? Because they're moving it. They're not letting money sit in compound, are they? How much money does a grocery store make if groceries are sitting on the shelf compounding and nobody's buying them? Zero. How much money does a car dealer make if nobody's buying cars? How much money does this hotel make if nobody's checking in or checking out or swimming in those pools over there? Zero. How much money do you make in the real estate business if things aren't moving and in motion? Zero, zero, zero. Not one business in the world actually uses compound interest. But isn't it a little bit strange that all the major institutions, banks, Wall Street, mutual companies, insurance companies, they all tell us to park our money with them and leave it sit still, but they don't do it themselves. Isn't that a little strange? If it was so good to let your money sit in compound, why aren't they doing it? I'm just trying to get you to think of what's going on. Oh, who has a 401k or an IRA or qualified plan? Show of hands. Keep them up. IRA, 401k, qualified plan. Keep them up for just a minute. IRA, 401k. Sir, how old are you? 51. How long have you been putting money in your 401k IRA qualified plan? 30 years. He's 51. He's been putting it in for 30 years. The reason that you're putting money in that plan is because that's what you were taught to do. That's what our parents taught us, our grandparents, our friends, our colleagues, and our coworkers, because they said, hey, go put money in your 401k IRA qualified plan, and you'll have more money to use later, right? Well, let me ask you this. Are there any guarantees in your 401k IRA qualified plan? Well, there is one guarantee. It's guaranteed to never go below zero. How exciting would that be if that actually happened? Wouldn't that suck? Yeah, and a lot of you guys have lost money in a 401k IRA or qualified plan. Who controls that 401k IRA qualified plan, you or somebody else? Somebody else controls it. I want you to tell me every single thing that you know about your 401k IRA or qualified plan. Wait, don't tell me. I'll tell you what you know. Here's what you know. You know if that account goes up or down based on the quarterly statement that you get, and you might know if it's invested in a low, moderate, or high-risk investment. But other than that, you guys don't know crap about that plan, do you? Maybe a couple of you do, but most of you don't, and somebody else is controlling it. Let me ask you another question. Out of all the people you've ever met in your financial life at retirement age, I want you to think of everybody you know at retirement age. Out of all those people you ever met, how many people have you ever met that are totally happy, ecstatic, elated, delightful, joyful, thrilled about how their 401k IRA qualified plan has performed for them? There's got to be one or two of you. One or two of you? I'm not seeing one hand. Usually I get a few hands. No. And the reason is because you all know people at retirement age that are working. Not because they want to be working, because their 401k, their IRA, their qualified plan, their pension did not turn out the way they thought it was going to be. Right? Just trying to get you to make you think. But let's go a little step deeper. Okay, somebody else controls it. All right. Is a dollar worth more today or in the future? Today, if you ever forget that, think about how many candy bars you could buy 25 years ago for a dollar, how many you can buy today for a dollar. Are taxes going to go up or go down? They're going to go up. And even if they don't go up, aren't we taxed on more stuff all the time? Yeah, just to give you an example, I was, I guess a couple years ago, I was in Denver, Colorado. I was talking on stage just like this, and I got done a little early, and I went to the store to buy my merchandise. I was in Denver, Colorado at the time, a few years ago. I went to the store to buy my merchandise. I gathered my merchandise. I brought it up to the counter, and I couldn't believe the amount of tax they were going to charge me on the marijuana I was about to buy. I'm just kidding, sir. It's just a joke. Just part of my deal. I really didn't buy marijuana. That's my daughter that smokes, not me. It's her. All right. So, yeah, taxes are going to go up or we're going to get taxed on more stuff, right? Question number three. If you have a choice to pay tax on the small amount, the seed, or the large amount, the harvest, which one do you want to pay tax on? the seed. I agree with all three of those answers, but you're violating every one of those answers by putting your money in a 401k, IRA, or qualified plan, because you're giving up good dollars today to get paid back with non-guaranteed dollars in the future. You're compounding the tax because the tax is always going to be there. And when you do pay the tax, you're going to pay it on the higher amount and not the smaller amount. Just trying to get you to think about what's going on. One last step. Age 51, he's been putting money in there for how long? 30? For 30 years, okay? How long does he have to keep that money in there before he goes and gets it and uses it without paying the penalty? Age 59 and a half. So almost another 10 years he's been doing it. 30, almost 40 years he has to give up control of that money. If he wants to go get it early, he has to pay the penalty. Because no matter when you go get it, even at 59 and a half, you still have to pay the tax on it anyway. Do you not? And most of you that are putting money in those plans, you could use that money today. Because I bet a lot of you in here have a car payment, a house payment, maybe student loan payments, maybe you have credit card payments, or I don't know, is there anyone in here that might like to invest in real estate? Is this one of those groups? Right? You could be using your money today. All right? It's okay if you got to go to the bathroom and throw up. I get it. It happens sometimes. All right. No, one last thing. Remember we said that money is a means of exchange. So that means food is money. Money is food. You've been putting money into account for 30 years. You got about another 10 to go. So let's say that we go buy a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk. We bring that loaf of bread or gallon of milk home. Are you going to put that gallon of milk or loaf of bread in the freezer and wait 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, or close to 40 years to eat that bread or drink the milk? That would be crazy, wouldn't it? What if we go buy a house or a car today? Are you going to wait 10, 15, 20, or 40 years to drive the car or move in the house? That would be ridiculous, would it not? Well, why are you doing that with your money? All those things equal money, do they not? People do things with money they would never do with things that money buys. You would never buy a loaf of bread, put it in the freezer, and wait 10, 20, 30, or 40 years to eat it. But you'll put money into a 401k, IRA, qualified plan, and hope to have money later. Oh, but guess what you guys tell me? You say, Brent, I'm the special snowflake in the room because I got one of those really good 401k, IRA, qualified plan. I get a match. Well, how can the match be guaranteed if the principal isn't guaranteed? But that's okay. Let's go with your theory. So let's say you get a match. And we said bread is food, or bread is money, money is bread. So we go buy a loaf of bread, we bring it home, put it in the freezer, we put it in there, and we leave it sit 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, or 40 years in the freezer. We open up the freezer, and guess what we got? 2 loaves of bread. How much better is that second loaf of bread going to taste 40 years from now? It will still be freezer burned, will it not? I just want you to use your money now. Okay, let's talk about how a bank works. This is how your bank works. No matter where you do banking, this is how it works. I'm going to say you have $100,000 of your money. Don't get caught up in the number. It could be $1,000, $100, or $1 million. The point you got to get is that it's your money. You put that money into the bank. Remember I said you found a really, really good bank? That bank is going to pay you 4% interest on your money. Now, anytime you put money into the bank, that money becomes a liability to the bank because they have to pay you interest. How does the bank take your money and turn it into an asset? They loan it out. That's what banks do. They're in the lending business. So a loan is an asset to a bank, is it not? But every time we think of a loan, guess what we think of it as? A debt, an expense, a liability. We have to start thinking of a loan as an asset the same way a bank does. So I don't even know you, but I know what you guys do. You go put your money into somebody else's bank, the conventional bank of wherever you live, we'll call it the conventional bank of Ohio, Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank, Chase, wherever it is. And then you go back to the bank and say, Mr. Banker, I need to borrow money to buy a house. Has anybody in here besides myself ever went to a bank to borrow money to buy a house? Yeah. So what you do is you borrow your money, the depositor's money, to buy a house. Now, I'm just going to say the bank is going to charge you a total of 7% interest to buy the house. Don't get caught up on the numbers. I want you to get the concept. So if you borrow money from a bank to buy a house, are you expected to pay the bank back with interest? Yeah, you're expected to pay the bank back. So who's in control of that transaction? The bank? How about a car? Has anyone in here besides myself ever went to a bank to borrow money to buy a car? Anybody? So let's call that 8%. Well, if you borrow money from a bank to buy a car, are you expected to pay them back with interest? Yes. So who's in control of that transaction? How about a home remodel? You guys ever went out and got a loan, like a HELOC, to do a home remodel? So, all right, possibly the thing you want, granite countertops, a patio, a deck, a pool, right? So, yes, you borrow money from a bank to do a home remodel. We'll call that 9%. If you borrow the money from the bank, you have to pay the bank back with interest. So, again, who's in control? Look, I hope you see all that happens with money. It goes in the bank, out the bank, in the bank, out the bank, in the bank, out the bank. That's why this same $20 bill that I put in there that I highlighted with my initials on it is no longer in the bank because it's constantly, constantly in motion. Finally, let's do a debt consolidation loan, 12%, pay off all the credit cards. That money has to go back in the banking system. Who's in control of every one of those transactions? The bank. Now, let's see how well you did and how well the bank did. I know it's like a Saturday afternoon after lunch, and the last thing you guys want to do is math, but I'm going to make the math pretty simple. Remember, I said you found a really good bank making 4%. Well, the banker took your money, the depositor money, loaned it to you or somebody for a house at 7%. So the bank made 7 and you made 4. How much more did the bank make than you? 3%. Good. On the car, they made 8, you made 4. How much more did they make? And how about 9 minus 4? They get a little harder. 12 minus 4? 8. Okay, so look, the bank made 20, you made 4. The bank made 20, you made 4. How much more did the bank make than you? 16%, right? Close. What about 500% more than you? Because look, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you made $4 and they made $20, didn't they make 5 times the amount of money that you made? Banks are making between 400 and 1,300% annually on the money that you leave there each and every year. Now, I know you're thinking, okay, Brent, I hear you moving your lips and flapping your gums. How do I really know that's true? How do I know banks make that much money? You can go out and you can look up any bank that you want and get their annual report. It could be a small bank, a big bank, whatever bank you want, and get their annual report. You go to BauerFinancial.com, B-A-U-E-R, BauerFinancial.com. You can pull up any bank that you want, and you will not find a bank that makes less than 400% annually on the money that you leave there. If you find it, and I'm challenging you to go do that, I want you to tell me that you found a bank that makes less than that. Because I've been teaching this now for almost 12 years around the country, both live and virtually, and I've been using this same slide, and I ask every audience to bring me a bank that makes less than 400% annually, and nobody's done it yet. But maybe you'll be the first, right? So, again, the banks are making all of that money on the money that you're leaving there, right? So all I want you to do is to be the banker in your own life because you're doing all of this anyway, are you not? You are doing all of these transactions. So who's getting all of your money? Do you ever wonder where it's all going? You need to be in control of this function right here. Now, how much risk did the bank take to do all of this? Not a lot, because whose money did they use? They used your money, so they really didn't take any risk. Now, I will agree, interest rate offsets risk. So the higher risk that you are as a borrower, the higher interest rate you will pay on the loan. But if you're too high of a risk, is the bank going to loan you money anyway? No, not. I do the same thing. I'm a lender. I lend money. I lend money through my infinite banking concept. And I'll just be transparent with you. As of the end of October, I have $8.9 million loaned out in 24 different loans. Okay? $8.9 million. But if I've got somebody that's risky, I'm not going to loan them money. Right? I'm not going to loan them money. Now, I don't loan money to risky people anyway because I don't really care what kind of risk you are because I have the collateral. I have first position collateral that's backed up with more than the value of the loan. So if you stop paying, I'm going to do the same thing a bank does. I'm going to foreclose on the property because I'm always in first position, always in first. I don't do second position anymore. I used to do second position loans, and those are what I would call my $603,000 of non-performing loans, okay? But I don't do second position loans anymore. I only do first position, because if you're not first, you're last. Okay, so all I want you to do is to be the banker in your own life. All right, so let's move on. There it is, BauerFinancial.com. If you find a bank that makes less than 400% annually, you owe it to me to tell me. This part I'm going to skip. Any part that I skip, I will show you how to watch it. Now, everybody in the room should have this handout. Hannah, stand up and watch the hands go up. Does anyone not have this handout? If you do not have this handout, Hannah's going to bring them to you. So keep your hands up. She's going to bring you the handout, okay? The next thing I'm going to go over with you is in the handout, and what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you how to get all the money back for all the cars you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life. So what does that mean? Not only do you get the car, but you also get the money back. And if I can show you how to do that with a car, you can do it with any product or service that you're buying. Now remember what the machine is that we're using to build wealth. Remember what that is? It is a whole life insurance policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. Why are we using that? Because this is what the wealthy use. This is what the rich use. Is there a better product or vehicle to use that has these features and benefits? If there is, tell me what it is, because I've been looking since 2006 and nobody's been able to show me. But maybe you guys have the answer and you can tell me what that is. All right? Now, okay, the whole life policy. Now, again, in the policy, you have a premium. You're putting premium into the policy. Yes, but the premium that you pay into the policy is your choice. It's totally up to you. You decide the amount to put in and how often you want to pay it. You can pay it monthly, quarterly, twice a year, annually. You can always change the mode of how you pay it, and you can always lower the amount. It's totally up to you. I have over 9,000 clients in every state of the country. I've never told one person how much to put in their policy. You tell me the amount you want to put in, okay? But a premium is a payment, right? It's a payment. However, remember what I said? It's going into an account that you control and you have the cash value to use immediately. How soon is immediately? Within 30 days, okay? So if you put money into this policy and you have immediate cash value, is that treated more like a payment or a deposit? A deposit. And tell me what word you like better, payment or deposit. And have you ever made too many deposits in your bank account? No. You have? I heard yes, you made too many deposits? You never make too many deposits. If you're making too many deposits, my name is Brent Kessler, and I'll give you my routing number and account number at the end. Age doesn't matter, and death benefit doesn't matter. We're not here to talk about life insurance for life insurance as far as age and death benefit. As a matter of fact, if you notice, okay, as I blow this up, age and death benefit don't matter. We're talking about cash. Your cash value available in the policy. As long as I solve your need for finance and cash, you'll have more death benefit than you can ever imagine, all right? I know there's a lot of numbers. I'm going to make it easy to follow. On the left, all it is time. Year 1 to 8, year 9 to 13. It's just time. That's it, okay? Age and death benefit, I said, don't matter. Deposit, how much are you putting in the policy? In this example, it's $10,000 a year, and they're going to pay that premium for 7 years in this example. In real life, you would never want to stop paying premium. You would never, ever want to stop because of the growth that's going on in the policy. Okay, the only reason I stopped here is because I want to isolate the car example and show you the power of it with stopping the premium and just buying one car every 5 years. I personally have 27 of these policies, about to put my 28th policy in force. Actually, this month in November, it was just approved, okay, the 28th policy, and I put about $750,000 a year in my own policy premium, and I buy at least one policy every 1 to 2 years. I have over 9,000 clients in every state of the country. Nobody that's ever been with me for 3 years or longer has ever, ever quit putting money into their policy, in their policy. The only reason you would stop is in the first 2 years of doing it, and that would only be if you had a severe financial catastrophe or disaster. But once you make it past the second year, you would never, ever quit paying premium because of the growth going on. Okay, in this example, I'm going to use $10,000 a year is the amount he's putting in. Now, don't freak out and think, oh my gosh, that's way too much. Okay, if it's too much, divide the number in half, take off a zero, whatever. If it's not enough, add a zero, times it by two. Remember, you decide the amount you want to put in your policy. You choose. Okay, all right? So in this example, he's going to put in $10,000 a year for 7 years. He's going to buy a car at the end of third year, the beginning of the fourth year, from the cash in his policy. So at the end of the third year, beginning of the fourth year, he's going to buy a $25,000 car. Now, in real life, I would never, ever have you wait this long to use the cash in your policy. I want you to use the cash value immediately. How soon is immediately? Within 30 days. But in this case, he waited to the end of the third year, beginning of the fourth year. Just know this. You have to trust me on this for a minute. Just know if you use the cash value sooner and you play honest banker with yourself, the same way that you play with a bank right now, you borrow from them, pay them back, okay, the numbers would only be bigger than what I'm about to show you. In this case, he waits to the end of the third year, beginning of the fourth year. He borrows out $25,000 to buy the car, okay? It's his banking system. So he's going to pay himself back a total of $500 a month or $6,000 a year for 5 years. So he's going to borrow $25,000, pay back $30,000. Borrow $25,000, pay back $30,000. He's paying himself back with interest because he borrowed the money from himself. Do you think it's a good idea if you borrow from yourself that you pay yourself back with interest? Is it a good idea? It's a great idea, but do you guys ever do it? No, man, I don't even know you, and I know what you do. Every time you have money in your account, you go, you buy the crap that you want to buy, and you never have a system to pay yourself back for the stuff that you just bought, much less pay yourself back with interest. Well, from this day forward, every time you borrow from yourself, you have to pay yourself back with interest the same way if you borrow from a bank, you pay them back with interest. Because if you don't, what you're saying is your money is not as valuable as the bank's money. So treat your money the same way you treat a bank's money. That's it. Treat your money the same way. Okay, let's look and see what happened in 8 years. In 8 years, he put, oh, wait, before I do that, I told you I'm going to show you how to get all the money back for all the cars you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life. Did I not? Sir, can I ask you, how old are you today? 77. 77. And I bet you've been driving since you were 16, so you've been driving about 60 years. And I bet this is your much younger bride next to you. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now the very first car that you bought back 60 years ago, is that a car you still have today? What about your second car? Third, fourth, fifth? And I bet your wife likes to drive cars too. The very first car that she bought at age 16, is that a car that you still have today? Your second car, third car, fourth car. You've went through life and you've bought and sold cars. You're going to continue to go through life and buy and sell cars. Why? Because they're going to wear out or you're going to get tired and want something new. Yes? Out of all the cars that you've ever bought up to this point in your life, how much of the money do you have today? Here's a hint. Zero. Does anyone in here have any more than zero for all the cars you've ever bought, driven, and owned in your life? No. So if I do nothing else but show you how to get part of that money back, if not all of it, has it been a pretty good afternoon? Okay. So here's what we did. In the first 8 years, we put in 10 times 7 is 70, 6 times 5 is 30, for a total of $100,000. Got it? But we took out 25 to buy the car. So if I put in 100 and took out 25, if I put 100 and took out 25, how much more did I put in than I took out? 100 minus 25 is? 75,000 is my true net injection. Are you with me? How much cash do I have in the policy? How much cash? 73,226. So if I divide 73,226 into 75,000, my true net injection, that means I just got back 96 cents or 96% of every dollar for that car. How would you like to have 96 cents back of every dollar for every car you've bought, driven, or owned? Is there anything stupid, ridiculous, or idiotic that I'm doing here? No, man. I just added one step in my life. I just bought a life insurance policy, and I'm using it to buy the car. I'm not asking you to change anything you're doing. I don't want you to change your cash flow. I don't want you to work any harder, take any additional risk, or lose control. We're adding one step in your financial life. Now watch this, because that car wears out, or and now we're going to go buy a second car for $25,000. Now, all I want you to do is look at year 9 to 13 because we got to go buy a second car. Why do we got to buy a second car? Because your wife has been tired of walking for the last 5 years and it's time for her to have a car. But I bet it was her that had the car first and you walked for 5 years, right? That's how it really worked. Okay, but needless to say, we got to have a second car. So where is that $25,000 car coming from, purchase? The $73,000 in cash value. So now I'm no longer going to pay premium into the policy in this example. Remember, in real life, you wouldn't want to do that because the numbers will just keep getting bigger. But in this example, we're going to not pay premium. All we're going to do is pay ourselves back, just like we paid ourselves for the first car, $500 a month or $6,000 a year for 5 years. So we borrowed $25, paid back $30. Borrowed $25, paid back $30. So if I borrowed $25 and I put back $30, how much more did I put back than I took out? $5,000 is my true net injection, is it not? How much cash do I have? $95,000 and some change. So look, the cash in my policy grew from 73 to 95. That is a $22,000 growth with a $5,000 net injection. How do you like buying cars my way? Is there anything stupid, ridiculous, or idiotic that I'm doing here? No, ma'am. All I did is I bought a stupid-ass life insurance policy, and I'm using it to buy the car. You guys are going to buy the car anyway. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Brent, why did you just use the word ass? That was not very nice. And the reason is because two of you are texting, three of you are sleeping, there's someone else doing something else, but ever since I used the word ass, your attention is right back up here on the screen. I don't know what it is. It's about that word ass that wakes you up and gets you right back here. So thank you for that. Now, watch this. Watch this. Let's see what happened in 13 years. Now, sir, how fast has 13 years gone in your life? You're 77. Does it feel like just yesterday you were 64? It goes by quick, doesn't it? I'm 56. It feels like just yesterday I was 43. So let's see what we did in 13 years. In 13 years, we put in 10 times 7 is 70, 6 times 5 is 30 for a total of 100,000. Then in year 9 to 13, we put in 6 times 5 is 30. So a total of 130,000 we put in this in 13 years. Are you with me? But we took out to buy two cars, didn't we? We took out a car right here. This car was in year 4 of 25, and this car in year 9 of 25, so a total of 50,000. So we put in 130, took out 50. Put in 130, took out 50. How much more did we put in than we took out? 130 minus 50 is 80. 80,000 is our true injection, yes? Well, how much cash do we have? It's okay to say it. 95. So wait a minute. Are you telling me we put in 130, we took out 50, so our net injection is 80, and here we are in year 13, we have 95,000 in cash in our account? Not only do we have the 95,000 in cash in our account, guess what else we have? We have two cars. We have a 5-year-old car and a 10-year-old car that we've driven, owned, and used, and we can still drive it, own it, use it, sell it, donate it, give it away. So if our net injection is 80 and we have 95,000 in cash and the two cars, how much did those cars cost us to buy, drive, own, and use? The way my simple mind thinks, nothing. They didn't cost anything, right? However, yes, that is right. If this is true, which it is, that is exactly right. But I can't sit here and tell you the cars cost you nothing because you had to start the concept. So in the very first year when you put in 10,000, all 10,000 was not available. But that's okay. Are you in this for the short term or the long term? Long term. You tell me long term, but we tend to get hung up in short term thinking. Have you ever read a book by Rick Warren? It's called A Purpose-Driven Life. In that book, Rick says life is just like a marathon. It doesn't matter where you start, it only matters how you finish. This is the game of life, right? So did I just show you how to get all the money back on all the cars you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life? Anything stupid or ridiculous that I'm doing? No, man, I just added a stupid life insurance policy, and I'm using it to buy the car. Now, this is an example of a $25,000 car. But how about if it wasn't a $25,000 car? What if it was a $50,000 car, and instead of us paying $500 a month or $6,000 a year back, we're paying $1,000 a month or $12,000 a year? What would happen to the numbers? They would go up. How about if mama and daddy both had a $50,000 car? What would happen to the numbers? They would go up. So if I can do this with a car, can I do it for anything else? So could I do this instead of a $25,000 car, can I do it for a $2,500 computer? Can I do it for a $250 gadget? Absolutely. You take off a zero, take off two zeros. What about a house? Anybody in here do real estate? What about if I added a zero? Instead of $25,000 for a car, what if it was $250,000 for a house? Could you do it? Absolutely you can. It doesn't matter what the number is. I do the same thing with airplanes. I'm an aviator. My very first airplane, I didn't understand how to do this. My very first airplane, I paid $101,000 for that plane. Why do I remember what I paid for it? Because the guy that was selling me the airplane would not come below 102, and I was not going to go above 100. And my wife was there, and we sat there, and we went back and forth for 30 minutes. And she said, hey, I think she called us idiots. She said, how about if you guys just agree on 101 and we can all go home? So we agreed on 101 and all went home. But I didn't know how to do this at that time. So then the next airplane, I knew how to do this. And that next airplane was $570,000. So I got $570,000 right here in this number. Yeah, these numbers are bigger, but that says airplane purchase. I get sick of that airplane just like you get sick of a car. And I go out and buy another airplane in June of 2020 for $1,610,000. So now all I do is put that $1,610,000 airplane there. 2 years later, June of 2022, I get sick of that airplane, and now the airplane I fly is a $3.1 million airplane, and that 3.1 goes right up there, and that 3.1 airplane and my pilot is going to be the vehicle that takes me and my daughter back to Florida tonight when we leave here to go to Lunken Field and fly back. But I get all the money back. Every dollar back. So do I really care how much the airplane is? No, because at the end of the day, I'm recycling and recapturing and getting all the money back. It doesn't matter what it is. We're turning every liability into an asset, every depreciating asset into an appreciating asset. How about your taxes? Could you do this with your taxes? Could you get your money back for your taxes? Your state taxes, your federal taxes, your local taxes? Absolutely right, you can. What about charitable giving? Could you give to charity and get all of your money back? Ooh, Brent, that ain't right, man. God does not want me to get my charitable giving back. Well, listen, if God didn't want you to get your charitable giving back, he would not have me standing in this room and you sitting in those chairs learning how to get it back, would he? Do you know any poor people adding wings to any churches? Neither do I. It doesn't matter what it is. We're turning every liability into an asset, every depreciating asset into an appreciating asset. Have you ever heard of a guy named Robert Kiyosaki? Robert Kiyosaki, he's known for the book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but he wrote another book called Second Chance. This is exactly what Robert Kiyosaki talks about in his book. The problem is he makes it too complicated for you to understand it, so when you read it, you didn't understand what it meant. Have you ever heard of a book called Tony Robbins called Money, Master the Game? Tony Robbins, Money, Master the Game. In that book, chapter 5.4 of that Tony Robbins book, this is exactly what he talks about. But when you guys read it, you didn't understand what it meant because they make it too complicated. All right, there's three rules you have to follow. Number one, pay yourself first. How are you paying yourself first? you're paying your premium into your banking policy. That's what you're doing. Pay yourself first. Now, you all have heard pay yourself first, but it goes in one ear and out the other. But you guys never do it. See, I don't even know you, and I know that you don't pay yourself first, because here's what you do. Every time you get money, it comes in. It can be active income, passive income, investment income. It can be a check from the mail from mom or dad or grandma and grandpa for birthdays, and you take that money, you put it into somebody else's bank. And guess what you do with that money? Guess what you do? You pay everybody else first. You pay the car people, the house people, the student loan people. You pay the food, the travel, the entertainment. You pay for Bobby's soccer practice, Susie's piano lessons, and you hope there's money left over for you. You got to stop that. You have to pay yourself first and then pay other people. Rule number two, pay yourself with interest. Treat your money the same way you treat a bank's money. If you borrow money from a bank, you pay them back with interest and don't even think twice about it and don't skip a beat, do you? Rule number three, recycle and recapture your money. If this works for a car, what else does it work for? Okay, three rules. All right, let's move on. There it is. Two more books I gave you, right? There's the book Second Chance and Money, Master the Game. I've given you four books now. The last main example that I have is also on your handout. Again, there's lots of seats up here. Just if you want to see the numbers closer, you can, but they're on your handout. I don't care how you review this and watch it. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how I was able to pay off $984,711 of debt in 39 months. I'm not going to use my exact example because it'll take too long, but I'm going to use another real-life example. This is a chiropractor in the state of Minnesota, and this is what their family did, okay? This is called a money multiplier map. We design these maps for you. All of our clients, we design these maps for you. There's also other tools that we design for you as well. But on this map, it's designed for you 2 to 3 times a year every 4 to 6 months, because wherever you're at today in your financial life is not where you were 1, 5, and 10 years ago, and it's not going to be where you're at 1, 5, and 10 years from now. Because just like you've been going through your financial life, the thing that you do is you buy things, sell things, windfalls, downfalls, raises, demotions. It's constantly changing, so as it's changing, we update the map. You never, ever pay us a dime for any of our services. You're never going to write me, Brent Kessler, a dime. You're not going to pay my company, the Money Multiplier, a check for a dime. I get paid one way only. I get paid the same way your car insurance guy or gal gets paid. If you go to John Smith, the Allstate man, to buy car insurance, the check that you write is not to John Smith, is it? No, you write the check to Allstate, and Allstate pays John Smith a commission. So I am the life agent. I'm licensed in every state of the country. So hopefully when you do this, you're going to get the policy through us, through our agency at the Money Multiplier, okay? Not that you have to. You don't have to do it, okay? But the thing is, you got to buy a policy from someone, and you might as well buy it from someone that this is all we do, 100% the infinite banking. So you will never pay me a dime. I get paid a commission from your policy, just like your car insurance guy gets paid. And the amount of commission I get paid is not determined by you, and it's not determined by me. It's determined by the insurance company, okay? So just to clear that up. Now, this individual, actually, this is called a money multiplier map. So this individual has 12 third-party debts, 12 third-party debts. And again, all of you have a handout on this, so you can watch up here, look at your handouts. But I want you to look and see who he owes. He owes Discover, Chase, American Express, Barclays, Lowe's, Nordstrom's, Wells Fargo are all credit cards. He owes a private loan, BMW, West Marine is a boat, a condo, and a house. And in each of those columns, it shows you how much he owes. It shows you the interest rate, how long he has left to pay, and what the minimum monthly payment is. If you add the numbers left to right, it comes to almost $470,000 of third-party debt. But I like to underpromise and overdeliver. So on your paper, I want you to write down he owes $450,000 of debt. $450,000. And if you look on the left, all this is year one, year two, and it has each month right here, okay? And then it has premium deposit. This is the amount that he's putting into the policy. This was his number. He said, hey, I want to put $25,000 a year into my policy. The last example was 10 grand. This guy's 25 grand. If the number's too big, take off a zero. If it's too small, times it by two. You choose the amount you want to put in. So he came to us and said, hey, man, help me break the financial slavery that I'm in that I don't even realize that I'm in, and help me get out of this debt mess, okay? So he owed $450,000, and he said, I'm going to put $25,000 a year towards that debt. Now, let's say you owe $450,000, and you're going to put $25,000 a year towards it. Assuming there's no interest, which there is, but let's assume there's no interest, how long would it take you to pay off $450,000 if you're putting in $25,000 a year? How many years? 18 years, right? 18 years. So $25,000 goes into $450,000 18 times. So on your paper, you should have written down he owes $450,000. It's going to take him 18 years to do it at $25,000 a year. So let's walk through it and see how well he does. In the very first month of the first year, he puts in $25,000. He immediately, how soon is immediately? Within 30 days, he's going to borrow $14,300. He takes the $14,300, he pays off all of Discover, all of Chase, all of American Express, all of Barclays, and he pays Lowe's down from $9,500 to $7,600. He takes that money that he was paying these creditors. So Discover was $160, Chase is $200, American Express $200, Barclays is $228. So that $788 a month that was going to the creditors, but he no longer owes them anymore, right? He's paid them off, so now all he's going to do is he's going to pay himself back the same money that he was paying them. By doing this, is he working any harder? Is he changing his cash flow, taking any additional risk, or losing control? No, he's only changing who gets the money. Before it was someone else, and now it's coming to him. And anytime he pays himself back that money is his to use right away again immediately. Not 30 days immediately, today immediately. Are you guys with me so far? He continues now to do that for 12 months. At the end of the first year, beginning of the second year, he puts in $25,000 again. He immediately, how soon is immediately again? Within 30 days, he borrows out $14,800. So he's got the $14,800 plus the $9,400 that he paid back the previous 12 months in the miscellaneous account for a total of $24,300. He takes the $24,300. He pays off all of Lowe's, all of Nordstrom's, all of Wells Fargo, and he pays the BMW down from $17,000 to $15,000. He takes that money that he was paying those creditors, which Lowe's was $287 a month, Nordstrom's $276, Wells Fargo $271. Add those up, add them to the $788 he was paying himself. Now he's paying himself $1,622 a month. Is he working harder? Changing his cash flow? Taking any additional risk? Losing control? No, man. Time is just going by. That's it. Time is just passing, and he's paying down the debt, and he's doing it through his own banking system. Now, look at month 18. At month 18, the private loan only had 7 months left here. So at the 18 month, it paid off during the normal course of the loan. So that frees up $922 a month he no longer owes. So here's what he said. He says, hey, I've been paying the $922 a month. I'm used to paying it, so I'm going to continue to pay it back to myself. So he adds the $922 a month to the $1,622, and now he's paying himself $2,544. If he didn't want to do that, he didn't have to. He could have said, no, I don't want to pay myself back anymore. I'm done. And he could have kept the number at $1,622. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't even have to pay himself back if he doesn't want to, because he's in control. He's the banker. But remember, treat your money the same way you treat a bank's money. Okay, now we get to the end of the second year, beginning of the third year. Okay, month number 25. Now look what happens. He puts in 25, and he can immediately borrow 22 and some change. In real life, by the time you get to this point, you can borrow out dollar for dollar. I always like to under-promise and over-deliver, so in real life on how your policy works is better than the numbers I'm showing you here. Because you guys are way more happy with me if I under-promise and over-deliver, if the numbers are better in real life than what I actually show you in my presentation. So now he puts in 25, he can borrow 22. Plus, he's been paying himself back the previous 12 months, so he's got 25.9 in his account here called the miscellaneous account. So 25.9 and 22.4 is 48.3. So guess what he does with the 48.3? He pays off the BMW, and he pays West Marine down from 47,000 down to 6,000, right? Now, he takes that money that he was paying the BMW, and he adds the $500 a month to the $2,544. So now he's paying himself $3,044 a month. 2 months later, he pays off West Marine, adds $1,261 a month to the $3,044, and now he's paying himself $4,305 a month. Are you seeing how this works? Now he gets to the end of the third year, beginning to, oh, before I do that, watch this. If you guys have been sleeping, you gotta watch this. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I've been doing this for 12 years, and I'm still getting goosebumps, right? Watch this. How much money did he put in the first 3 years? 25, 25, and 25 is? 75. How much is he using? In the first year, he used 14 and some change. Second year, 14 and some change. Third year, 22 and some change. So let's just call it 50. So we put in 75, and he's using 50. He put in 75 and he's using 50. How much money is left in the policy? 25, right? No. All 75,000 is still in your policy, growing and compounding at that guaranteed growth rate, tax-free growth rate with dividends, even though you're using 50,000. Because look, whenever you borrow from your policy, you don't borrow the money out of your policy. You simply put your policy up for collateral and take a loan from the general fund of the insurance company. So your money is continuing to compound and grow even though you're using the money at the same time. It's uninterrupted compound interest. I'll answer questions at the end. You must have came in late. Remember, short pencil's better than a long memory. I'll answer it at the end. Write it down. Okay, so all the money is continuing to grow. We get to the end of the third year, beginning of the fourth year, month number 37. Now watch what happens. We put in 25. Now how much can we use? We can use 26 more than we put in. Sir, every time I come to your... No, I've already used you once. Sir, every time I come to your driveway now, okay, every year I'm going to come to your driveway and you're going to give me $25 and I'm going to give you $26. You're going to give me $25,000, I'm going to give you $26,000, more than what you're giving me. How many times do you want me to come to your driveway and do that? As many times as possible. That is exactly what happens in your policy. The oldest policy that I have, I started it 15 years ago in February of 2008. Every dollar I put into that policy in the 15th year, it gives me $2.54 to use. Next year, guess what it's going to give me? Even a higher number, because every day is better than the day before in a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. It's not me telling you, it is in the contract. Before you ever accept, pay, and sign for the policy, you will see exactly what those numbers are. So now what we do is we borrow the 25.9. Plus we got the 41 for a total of 67. We pay down the condo from 81 to 12, continue to pay ourselves back just like we were before. I'm not paying any more because I did not pay the condo off. So I'm going to keep my payments the same. At the end of the fourth year, we pay the condo off, which frees up $1,179. So we add the $1,179, and now we're paying ourselves $5,484. And then we get to the end of the fourth year, beginning of the fifth year, month 49. We put in $25,000. Now we borrow almost $27,000. So, sir, I'm back at your driveway a year later. Remember last year you gave me $25,000, I gave you $26,000. This year you give me $25,000, I give you $27,000. Are you liking me a little better this year than last year? How many times do you want me to come back? As twice as often, as many times as possible, right? Okay, so now we got that plus the amount that we paid ourselves back before, which is $51,000. We pay the house down from 181 to 102. We get to the end of the fifth year, beginning of the sixth year. Now we pay premium again. In this example, I'm only paying 10 and not 25. I'll explain later in the question and answer session why that is, but we're only going to put in 10. But here's what I want you to see. I'm now going to put in $10,000, and how much can I use immediately? How soon is immediately? 30 days, I can use $13,000. Now, I'm not a math genius or anything, but if I know if I put in 10 grand to something and I can use $13,000 immediately, that is a 30% increase on my money. How much of your money do you want growing at 30% 61 months from now? The correct answer is all of it. If you did not say all of it, you do not need financial counseling. You need severe psychiatric care. And I'm a chiropractor, and you may have a subluxation like at C1 or C2, and we can clear that out for you before we leave. It's all included. All right? But now I'm back at your driveway. You give me 10, I give you 13. Now you're inviting me in and cooking me breakfast, aren't you? You liking me? I got a bed. I can bring my family and my kids. Are you sure you want my kids? Yeah? I can bring them, though, right? So now I'm going to start another policy, a branch office. If you work with us, you will never wait 5 years to start a second policy. I have over 9,000 clients in every state of the country. 91% of my clients that have been with me a year or longer come back and buy additional policies. Of those 91%, 70% of those come back before the first year is even up because they see how effective this works and how efficient that we work with them. So you will come back and start another policy. Just like your bank right now that you bank at, is there one branch or are there multiple branches? Multiple. So can you have multiple branches of your own banking system? Absolutely. So now what do? We got the first policy, we used $13,000, the new policy $14,000, that's $27,000. $27,000 and $65,000 is $93,000. Well, I only owe $90,000 on the house. So I have enough money to pay off that last debt. I've totally eliminated almost $470,000 of third-party debt. And how long did I tell you it was going to take us to do it when you wrote it down? 18 years. It didn't take 18, 15, 10. We did it in 5 years and 1 month. How happy do you think that family was? Is there anything stupid, ridiculous, or idiotic that I did? Now do you see how I paid off $984,711 in 39 months? The only thing was is I went faster. I went faster. That's it. This family here, so could they have went faster if they wanted to? Yeah, they could have added more premium. They could have paid themselves back more. Could they have went slower if they wanted? Yeah, they could have not paid as much premium. They could have not started a second policy. They could have not paid themselves back. The only risk factor with everything I'm telling you, there's no risk factor. I don't care what state you live in. Nobody in your state has ever lost money in a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. It's never happened. Go look it up and find it and show it to me. There's no risk. The only risk factor is you and how you actually use the policy. And who do you know better than you? Right? Now, let's peel back the onion a little bit more. How much money, outside money, did they actually put in to pay off this almost $470,000 in debt? Well, how much did they put in the first year? 25, second year 25, third, fourth, and fifth year 25. 25 times 5 is 125, plus 10, 135, plus the new policy, 25, so 160. They injected $160,000 of outside money, kept their cash flow the same, paid off almost $470,000 of third-party debt. Now, you're probably thinking, well, Brent, all this is great and everything, but I don't have any third-party debt. It's okay. You don't have to have third-party debt. What about your expenses? Do you have expenses? I know you guys like to eat because I've seen you around here at lunchtime. You have food you put in your belly. You put gas in your car, right? How about taxes? Do they charge you taxes in Ohio, right? So it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be third-party debt. It's anything. What about real estate? I have properties. I have long-term rentals, short-term rentals, Airbnbs, VRBOs, and I have a quite a bit of money lent out in loans. I do all of this through my banking system. So not only am I earning the money on those assets, whether it's depreciating or appreciating, I'm also earning the uninterrupted compound interest inside of the policy, and all that money stays in my family. There's no money being leaked out to anyone else. Okay, now, almost done. You're probably thinking, okay, so who does this? Why haven't I heard about this before? Well, here's an article from November 16th of 2016, an article on ESPN that I found that I was about to give a presentation in Denver, Colorado, and I opened up, and it's about this time of year, right? Good time for football scores, college football. So I opened it up, and it says, Cash Value Life Insurance makes Jim Harbaugh one of the top paid football coaches. Why do they do this? Because the university gets back all of the money they pay on a salary. Not only do they pay his salary, but they get the money back. And if you guys know anything about college football, back in 2016, it's a good thing they were getting the money back on this guy because he wasn't winning the games that he was supposed to be winning. Doing better now, but not then. Walt Disney, after failing in the pursuit of traditional means of financing, Walt Disney had to provide his own financing. A large part came from collaterally borrowing from his cash value life policy. So do you know what that means? That means Walt Disney walked into the bank and says, hey, I got this great idea. It's called Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Would you loan me some money? And they said no. So he had to borrow from his policies in order to help start Disney World. Who knows if Disney World would even be here if it wasn't for cash value life insurance. Ray Kroc, same thing. He had to borrow money. He had to borrow money to help pay salaries for his key employees, and he used some of it to start an advertising campaign called Ronald McDonald. Have you guys even seen Ronald McDonald lately? Where's he been? I haven't seen him. Pampered Chef. Okay, anyway, here's this lady, Doris Christopher. In 1980, in her Chicago suburban home, she borrowed $3,000 from her cash value policy to start this business called Pampered Chef, which she later sold to Warren Buffett for $1.5 billion with a B, dollars, right? So who knows if Pampered Chef would be here. There you go, President Biden. This is an article almost 10 years old now. Joe Biden says he has no stocks, bonds, or savings account. He has six whole life policies in a mutual company that pays dividends. This is 10 years ago, and he had six policies. 10 years later, who knows how many policies Joe Biden owns? Or I don't know, maybe Hunter has them all. Yeah, there's usually three or four of you that exit the room with that joke. Yeah, I get it. It's all right. All right, I'm close to the end, so you've seen it about all. Stanford University, JCPenney, Foster Farms, it goes on and on. Now that you know this, everybody should be doing this. Because if you don't do this, not only are you stealing from yourself, your spouse, your children, and future generations to come, because you're letting money leave the family. Where is all of your money going? You're letting that money leave your family. Now look, all of us have access to the same financial tools, do we not? We all have access to the same financial tools, right? Us and the super wealthy, yeah? The only difference between us and the wealthy is they use the tools differently. Now that I know how to play the game, I'm just using the tools that the wealthy have been using for over 200 years. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to do what they do. There's a guy named Warren Buffett. Have you ever heard of Warren Buffett? Now, I don't know when Warren Buffett said this, but I heard this in October of 2008. And I think about this quote every day of my life because I do not like complicated crap. I like stuff to be simple. And here's what Warren, as a matter of fact, I don't do good with complicated. It took me 13 trimesters to pass 10 trimesters of Logan Chiropractic College because I kept failing classes. When I finally did pass, it took me an extra 2 years almost to actually just to be able to practice chiropractic because I kept failing part three of national boards. And they only give you the test once every 6 months. And I failed it three times. I passed it on my fourth time. So it took me an extra 2 years. As a matter of fact, my mom sent me this little plaque about, and it was just about before I was going to take the test on the third time. And it was a plaque of a chipmunk, and the chipmunk was just gnawing down on a log. And at the bottom of the plaque, it says, a third time is a charm. No, Mom, a third time wasn't a charm. It took me four times to pass that damn test. So she sent sent it to me one time too early. So I am not the brightest candle on the cake, the sharpest tool in the shed. And some people have told me I'm a couple donuts short of a dozen. But I understand this. And I understand what Warren Buffett said. And here's what Warren Buffett said. And I think of this quote every day of my life. Warren Buffett said, if poor people would just start doing what rich people do, they wouldn't be poor anymore. How much sense does that make? All right, about to wrap it up. Only one of two things are going to happen to every one of us in this room. In the next 5 minutes, 5 days, okay, in the next 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. We're either going to live or we're going to die. Now, I like to use the word graduate, but you use whatever word you want. So we're going to live or we're going to pass. If we live, are we better off with or without this concept I just shared with you? Hopefully you think with. It's not an if we die, pass, or graduate. It's a when, because we all have an expiration date, don't we? When we pass, are our beneficiaries better off with or without this concept? With, because of the death benefit. By the way, how much today did I even talk about death benefit? How much did I even talk about life insurance? Look, life insurance is the vehicle that we're going to use. It's the machine that we're going to use to build, keep, and create wealth. If I could sit here and say, hey, buy water bottles and you can build, keep, and create wealth, I would be saying, let's get some water bottles and build, keep, and create wealth. That's just not the vehicle. It's the whole life policy and the mutual company that pays dividends. Policies are exempt from lawsuits and judgments in most states. That's right, exempt from lawsuits and judgments in most states. Internal growth grows tax-free inside of the policy. See, here's what you want to do, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You want to pay tax on your money one time only, and get the government out of your hair and get that money into a tax-free environment. Do you not? The loan on the policy never has to be paid back. You never have to pay back your policy loan, because the policy loan is a prepayment of the death benefit, right? The insurance company can never lose, because your death benefit is always greater than the cash value or the loan availability, and you're guaranteed to die. And when you do die, what's going to happen is the death benefit will pay off any outstanding policy loan, because they've given you that money while you're living. So you're essentially using the death benefit while you're living. We have no music here, so that's not going to play. Last slide is, oh, and remember, if you send me an email, brent@themoneymultiplier.com, I will send you the book that I wrote, Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery, the ebook form. Last slide. If this is something that you think you want to do, or you want to know how this is going to work in your life, on the very back page of your handout, the very back page, I want you to write down your name, phone number, and email. But wait, before you write it down, make sure you write it down to where we can actually read what you write. Okay, rule number one. And rule number two, only turn in those sheets to Hannah. And there's Hannah, my daughter. Only turn in those sheets to Hannah if you are actually going to take our call, when we email you, text you, or call you. If you plan on ghosting us, do not even turn in the sheets, please. So only turn them in if you're actually going to take our call. And the thing we'll do is we'll do a strategy call with you, so you can see how this will work in your own financial life. So we'll schedule that call with our money mentor. And the thing you can do is go onto our website, watch our podcast. I'm speaking all around the country. I'll be in South Florida next year. And that screen right there, you might want to take a picture of it. If there's somebody that's not here that should be here, this is how you watch the presentation. Go to the website, themoneymultiplier.com, click on Watch Brent Now. My full 90-plus minute recorded presentation is on there with all of the handouts. So if somebody should be here that's not, that's where you want to send them. Okay, so I got done 4 minutes early, because I started 3 minutes late, and it's 3:29. I'm 4 minutes later, and that guy over there, he's about to wet his pants. He's got a question so bad. So yes, sir, you are next. What's good. That?
I feel like I've been waterboarded.
You feel like I've been waterboarded. I just spoke to the military academy at West Point yesterday in Denver. It was the Black and Gold Summit. It was all military academy, and they have these big signs that say Army beat Air Force. They do it every year, and so they could probably tell you about waterboarding.
So let me ask a question.
Yes, sir.
You seem to think imply that no interest is charged on the loan. Is that your assumption?
No, I did not. Because remember, on the calculators in the beginning stages of my presentation, I showed you how you could borrow at a higher rate and still make money. I showed borrowing at 6 and earning 4. And the reason I did that is because the 4% is growing internally in your policy. Okay, so like it's actually greater than 4% because of the dividends. And I said the 6% is the highest interest rate the insurance company will charge you to take the policy loan. So yes, you borrow the insurance company's money from the general fund, which is a great thing because all of your money is still in the policy growing and compounding in that tax-free growth rate environment. And it's compounding where when you borrow from the general fund, you are not touching any of your money and you're borrowing the money at simple interest and not compounded interest, which also is a huge deal.
I have a situation like that where I've borrowed against my policy, and they compound. Now, does it matter whether you have a mutual fund, a mutual insurance company, or not?
Well, no, actually it shouldn't, because if you borrow money, right, so the thing is that when you pay your policy loan interest back, it should not compound. But if you don't pay the interest portion back, then the interest portion will compound. So we teach you to pay your policy loan interest every single year at your anniversary date. Because if you don't, it's okay, because the problem is if you don't, that's going to be that much less that you have to borrow the next year. If you pay it back, just like you would pay a bank back, remember I said treat your money like you treat a bank's money, then you have that much more to borrow.
And the second issue is if you look at the loan, if the loan ends up exceeding the cash value of the policy, you end up terminating the policy, and they consider it income to the policyholder.
Okay, so the thing that you're saying is if you take it out as a withdrawal, the big difference is withdrawal and loan. If you take money out of the policy in the form of withdrawal above and beyond cost basis, that becomes taxable. So for example, let's say you put in $100,000 into a policy over a period of time and you withdraw, the key word is withdrawal, and let's say you withdraw $150,000, then you're going to be taxed on the $50,000, not the $150,000, the $50,000, because you're taking it out as a withdrawal. So instead, what you want to do is take it out as policy loans. A loan is never taxable. As a matter of fact, okay, the thing is, when you take a loan out, that can be a tax advantage, because if you're using it for a business purpose, you may have a tax deduction. And at the end of the policy, the death benefit is never taxable, because death benefit gets paid out to the next generation tax-free.
But they call it a loan. So I don't know what your terminology is, but they called it a loan. And they said, I received a notice because I hadn't made payments on it, because I used the dividends to pay down my premiums.
Well, okay, so see, that's what you did. The thing you did is you took money out as a withdrawal with your dividends, and based on the policy premium that you had and however much money you took out, it was above and beyond the cost basis, and that's what you're taxed on. That's just, the thing is, that's with all like policies, general rule. And again, I'm happy to look at your policy to see, and we can analyze it. So all I would need you to do is get an in-force illustration on that policy, and I'll review any policies you guys have. All you do is call the insurance company or your agent and ask them for an in-force, I-N-F-O-R-C-E, illustration, and it will show you everything that's going on in that policy. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, go ahead. Is there an age limit? Yes. So there is an age limit. Not everybody at every age can get a policy, but if you can't get a policy because of your age or your health, you can do the, okay, everything I showed you can be done. All you have to do is get the policy on someone else, a spouse, a child, a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, somebody you have a vested interest in, even a business partner. So not everybody qualifies for a policy. The oldest person we've ever got insured is age 77. So if you're above age 77, you may not get a policy on yourself, but you can still own policies on other individuals and do everything that I'm showing you.
Okay.
You can own policies on children, other people, and you can own more than one policy on yourself, and you can also own policies on other individuals. There is a living benefit rider on the policy. I think it's called a chronic illness rider, but it's better if you want long-term care or asset care to get a separate policy for that that you don't use for banking. I can show you, right, as far as how to do that. And actually, I have those. I have long-term care policies, but they're not banking policies. Yeah, the $10,000, the reason he dropped his premium from 25 to 10 is because we dropped off what we called the paid up additions rider on the policy. So now we're only paying the base premium. And the reason we do that is because the policy now is more efficient. So we no longer are putting the paid up additions in the policy.
And it's we have a booth. It's just right out there. Just right by the main doors on the left-hand side. We'll be taking questions over there.
Yes, our booth is right by the door. It's the Money Multiplier booth. I got to exit now because the next presenter is coming in, but I'll take questions over there at the booth or my daughter, Hannah. If you have not turned in those papers, turn them into Hannah. I have a couple of those banker books. If you want them, they're 20 bucks. I think we got two or three left. You can get those. And then remember, I told you, go watch Isabel at 4 o'clock. Isabel with RAL at the 4 o'clock session. You'll be glad you watched her. 4 p.m.